Welcome back to Money in America with Randall Turner. Today, my special guest is Alex Cortez. He's the chairman of Restore the Dream Foundation. It's a nonprofit 501c4 organization committed to restoring the American dream through limited government, free markets, and individual liberty. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Randall. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're glad to have you here because you wrote an article that I found fascinating. The article I found on the Daily Caller, it says Obamacare harms our troops. And as long as a lot of our listeners know that, you know, I've got not one but now two sons in the military, and I had never heard about this. So explain the thesis of your article.
Sure. I mean, it's kind of gone unnoticed. I mean, here we talk about Obamacare's harm often to snooky or seniors or other more traditional interest groups, but no one's talked about how it really affects our troops. And you think about, the medical device tax and how that's going to affect them, or the fact that Pelosi forgot to extend the age to military children can stay on their policies until 26, and how low the TRICARE reimbursement rates are, and that's going to lead to rationing. And so there's a number of aspects where troops are really going to be left behind by the law.
Well, what do you mean? Go back to the first part. I'm sure a lot of people don't know about what you're saying, that Pelosi left the adult children out of the 26 and under rules. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so if you're a non-military family, your child can stay on your parents' policy until the age of 26, but not if you're the child of a military family. That was an oversight on their part. I mean, I don't think they did that intentionally, but it shows you just how haphazardly they put together the law, that, we really do have to pass it to find out what's in it, and they still haven't corrected it. I mean, it's quite terrible.
Well, I'm not so sure. You give her the benefit of the doubt. I'm a little more cynical, frankly. I think this is San Francisco. This is the area that threw the Navy out from the San Francisco Bay and not allows them to do any the Navy Week anymore in San Francisco. So I'm not quite so ready to believe it was an innocent oversight, frankly. But keep going. Tell me more about this article. But what is it really going to do in terms of affecting the troops?
Sure. Let's look at the medical device tax. That's one of the most significant areas. It's a 2.3% tax on the sale of medical devices. So it's going to be applied to the businesses that actually create these and sell these. But the majority of these medical device businesses are small business owners. Over half of them, or 2.3%, all are a big portion of their profit margin. And so they're basically faced with two options. Either they have to pass on the cost to the consumers, and what that means is the Department of Veterans Affairs is going to be more burdened, with this additional cost, and they're going to have to cut back elsewhere. Or they're going to have to raise premiums for TRICARE patients. Or the second option for these medical device makers is to put less dollars towards innovation, towards research and development to create new products that will help out our troops. So either way, our troops are going to get left behind by this tax.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. The Veterans Administration doesn't have a great reputation now for the troops. Remember the... Was it 60-60 or 60 Minutes or 2020? One of those programs a few years ago did the investigation of Walter Reed and found out the place was decrepit and even had roaches and whatnot running around the rooms the military were recouping in. And now we're going to take from them even more, it seems like.
After seeing how the VA is done, do we really want a government takeover of healthcare, for the entire populace?
Well, that's the one thing we've discovered firsthand, having military children. The youngest was the Marine, and he had TRICARE as their insurance policy, just like Blue Cross, Blue Shield. The military has TRICARE. And for him just to apply to get certain minimal services done was like pulling teeth at times. And the payment was slow, and just even the agreement for them to do certain minimal procedures was slow. So I don't know. This is not good news. How does this get changed, though? Going forward, is there any hope of changing this?
Sure. I think if you look at Paul Ryan's roadmap for America, I would certainly support, basically voucherizing TRICARE. So your son and other patients would get, a set benefit, whether it's 10 grand or 15,000, and go buy the plan that they would like. For Americans, we believe in liberty. You should be able to purchase a plan that fits your needs. Obviously we're all different people as well. We have different needs, different desires, and so your son should be able to go out and buy the best plan tailored towards his needs.
Well, in your article, you talk about the sustainable growth rate formula. What on earth is that about?
It's this messed up formula they passed in Congress a few years ago, where almost every year then it forces you to take a 20, 25%, 30% cut in Medicare reimbursement rates. what they've always done year after year is pass a patch, so these cuts never go into effect. It's one of the dumbest things Congress has done, and so we need a long-term solution to the sustainable growth rate, because every time we come to these deadlines, we just face the deadline on November 30th. I mean, there's that threat that, doctors can get a massive 30% cut, and they don't know how to budget or, how much money they're going to have at the end of the year, with the threat of these massive cuts. And so we need a long-term solution at this. And, what's really terrible is Medicare, on average, only pays 81% of private healthcare costs. TRICARE rates are pegged to Medicare rates. And so when we get this massive influx of new healthcare patients, with Obamacare, it expands it to 30 million new people, and an expected doctor shortage of 150,000 doctors in the next few years, these doctors are going to have an even greater ability to discriminate who they will see. And they're obviously, being self-interested, rational people, they're going to take the higher-paying private sector rates. These TRICARE patients are going to have an even harder time getting access to a doctor.
Ugh. But this doesn't sound like any kind of win for the military, for sure.
It's not a win for anyone. It's not a win for doctors. It's not a win for the military. Do you really think doctors want to deny Medicare patients or TRICARE patients? It's a loss for the American people as a whole.
Obviously. I've met quite a few doctors who refuse to take Medicare now. Now that this is all coming down the pike, I'm not sure what they're going to do. They're not sure what they're going to do. I'll tell you a cute little story. I have a friend who's a doctor, probably pushing 60 or so. He's a specialist. He grew up in Lebanon, moved to Canada when he was a child, and he wound up getting his degree as a doctor in Canada, worked in Canada for many years, until he finally came to the conclusion that the Canadian system forces him not to get reimbursement after basically June every year, because you have so many operations whatnot you can do under their requirements. After you've reached that plateau, you've got to still do them, but you're not getting paid, basically. So he got
smart. And that might happen here. There is the real threat that these doctors will be government employees, and as it is in some of these other socialist statist systems. And so hopefully we don't get to that point, and that's why my organization is focused on defunding, repealing, and replacing Obamacare.
Well, when I met with him for lunch a few weeks ago, he says, look, he's done his homework. He says he still has citizenship in Canada and the U.S., and now he's done his homework on the new Obamacare. He says, those 10,000 physicians that have moved out of Canada into the U.S. in the last 10 years? I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I was one of them, yeah. He says, I'm going back. He says, I bet a lot of my buddies are going back, too. He says, Toronto's beautiful. If I'm not going to make any money, I might as well go live where my family is.
Oh, yikes. That's terrible. Just the fact that they have to make decisions like that. We used to be the beacon of hope and prosperity in the shining city on the hill where doctors like himself, would come here and seek refuge, and the fact that we are not such a place anymore is quite a tragedy.
It is, but people don't grasp it. People don't grasp it until it happens to them, Until then, it's just somebody else's problem,
Yep, and that's the problem with this law, too, is it really doesn't go into effect until 2014, in a major way. And so, by that time, though, it'll be well on its way to becoming another entrenched immortal entitlement program. And that's why we have to act now. We ask people to go to our website at defunded.org and sign our pledge to defund the law and ask your congressman, to pledge to defund the law. And we have to be committed to defeating this thing at each and every turn.
I want to read one of the paragraphs you wrote. This is Alex Cortez's writing. Further, like the European systems on which Obamacare is modeled, the uncontrollable cost increases that arise from unaccountable government programs will necessarily lead to the type of cruel rationing of life-saving care that Dr. Donald Berwick, the new administrator of the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, openly embraces.
Oh, yeah. He treats rationing like it's a sport. He says he's a lover of the British healthcare system. He thinks it's fantastic. And he said, the only question is whether we're going to ration with our eyes open. And obviously his conclusion is we should. And if you look at the power he's going to have with the Independent Payment Advisory Board, So one of these new 159 new bureaucracies, agencies, and programs Obamacare creates, one of them is this panel of bureaucrats who literally get to decide what Medicare will reimburse and at what rates. These aren't elected folks, and it automatically goes into a law unless Congress reverses them. And with Berwick at the helm there, it's quite a danger.
Where did Berwick come from? Do you know his background?
Yes, he ran an institute for, I'm forgetting the name, but basically he ran like a 501c3 think tank for rationing. So he's a very leftist.
Are you serious?
Pushing, pushing out these radical policies.
Oh, well, how did you ever get approved then? Oh my God! Because you have a left wing. You have a left wing.
Never did get approved.
Oh my gosh! So you're telling me that the only hope we have is to basically defund it.
That's the only hope for now. I mean, to repeal it, which has to be our ultimate goal, we need 60 senators to avoid a filibuster. We need a Republican president to sign that repeal legislation. Now, when are we going to have 60 senators? You mean it could be a decade or more out? It could be never. And that's why we have to defund it. If we can withhold the funding necessary to implement and enforce the law, it's effectively dead at that point. So really, that's the main object that we have to be focused on. But there's also other things. We need to call seduce in the hearings every single day and talk about the law and explain it and how it's going to work. And we have to go after repealing some of the more destructive provisions like the medical device tax. I mean, so we should put up a bill saying repeal this medical device tax and explain to the American people how it affects troops, how it affects our seniors.
Because they don't.
Smaller provisions like that, and number one, will help to reduce the damage of Obamacare, but we also expose, the harm that it really imposes.
Well, how much success have you had in getting your message out?
We had over 200 candidates last cycle sign our pledge to defund the law, and we've been pretty successful in getting our message out. You may frequently have op-eds in Washington Times and Politico and Daily Caller, and I've been on Fox News and CNN, and so, we've really been a key driver of the defunding movement, but obviously it needs to keep continuing, and the bigger the better. So, I ask your listeners to join our movement, and there's much more work to be done.
Well, let's go, folks. Sign them up. Go to, defund?
Yeah, so defundit.org, defundit.org, and sign our People's Pledge, and we'll get your contact, and we'll join the fight together.
All right, folks, you heard them. This is where you get involved, and you get off your couch, and it'll take you 2 minutes to do it, and it'll be the best thing you can do all day. And this has been Alex Cortez, the chairman of Restore the Dream Foundation, and this is Money in America with Randall Turner.